This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph Wyatt. Do stay with us today as Dr. Wyatt continues with the series on Matthew's Gospel. And Dr. Wyatt will delve deeper with this look at the coming of one out of the wilderness, a prophet speaking with boldness, a difficult and humbling message. And Dr. Wyatt speaks of the necessity to prepare the way of the Lord.
Thank you, Dennis. As we continue in this Gospel, we encounter John, called the Baptist. It is the beginning. Sharon's reading is from the third chapter of this gospel, and how in those days John came.
During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, in the region around Jordan. He came proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be brought up, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." To the multitudes who came to be baptized, John said, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham."
Thank you so much, Sharon. This gospel reading concerns the sudden appearance in the Judean wilderness of one that we now call John the Baptist, and his special message, then, of repentance. His presentation in our Gospels is both significant and extremely unique. Luke first sets this within its historical context, the 15th year of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod ruled in Galilee. Other petty rulers are also mentioned. But then Luke states, beyond the secular rulers, it was also during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. And it was at this time the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. In the Old Testament tradition, John came forth out of the wilderness, where prophets were tested and prepared, where Israel was also tested. Here, far from the centers of religious power, remote from the temple authorities, God had often revealed himself, and where he had frequently spoken to those he had set apart. Here, at this momentous time, God's word was once again heard and spoken by a prophet. It was God's word that came to John, no one else. He was to be the prophet in the manner of Elijah and Elisha. He was no pretend prophet, not some self-appointed one, but one who commanded attention and one who spoke with authority and authenticity. John fulfilled the role of a prophet and is clearly identified as one. He himself, however, spoke of his role of preparing the way, of announcing the coming of one stronger. Note, too, that John didn't ask, but demanded the repentance of the people, more a change of heart, a change of attitude, a whole new approach to their lives. This call for repentance was set in light of God's coming and his imminent judgment. It is a call to return to one's covenant relationship with God their true allegiance as Israel. It was a hard message, and he demanded much as far as Jewish sensibilities were concerned. For John was treating them as Gentiles, requiring that they be baptized in water, washed of their pollution and infidelity, and that they were not even capable of doing such ablutions themselves. It was he, John, that would baptize them. He would make sure it was done right. This was no sprinkling, no pouring, but done in the Jordan at a place where there was much water. It, in a sense, would be humiliating, even demeaning. But such humility was what John the Baptist was calling for, and such a demanding message surprisingly brought great results. For we are told all Jerusalem and Judea came out to hear, and there to be baptized. It speaks eloquently of the times. All Israel was at the point of eager expectations. It was a society that had waited a long time for the authoritative word of God to be heard again in the land. Now with an urgency is the message all had wanted to hear. Now is the appointed time for the kingdom of God, for it is now arriving. The language is that God's rule is so near that it is now. This is the time that God is to take complete control. All the promises of his reign have now commenced. This is no mistake. God has come near, is now already present, and something is now in the process of happening. All the people except the religious authorities, those that controlled the religious affairs of Israel, believed John to be a prophet, and they were not mistaken. John may not have been fully aware of the nature, purpose, and how God would accomplish his reign in the earth, but it was already walking the land. How many purport to be speaking God's word, but without the authority and authenticity required, saying things that have no weight or substance, saying them only to bring attention to themselves? Some will even have the audacity to call themselves apostles, bishops, or even prophets, without having the message, let alone the divine authority. I have spoken often of the unanointed, the uncalled that fill too many pulpits, and they also fill our airwaves. How often do you have someone pontificate on some detail of the prophetic future, only to have events turn out much differently, and they are forced to change their outlines, yet they still consider themselves an expert on prophecy? Someone sets a date for the Lord's return, and then nothing. They only set another date. No one is laughed off the stage. It is Henry Miller and the Adventists in 1843 and 44 all over again. The Watchtower in 1956. And no one has any sense of history, or perhaps they have a convenient case of amnesia. A true prophet, one who has true divine authority, does not make such mistakes. Nor do they claim spiritual offices or ministries for themselves without the signs of authenticity or the divine calling. No, it was the word of God that came to John. It was not something he dreamed up. His ministry was that necessary preparation, a preparation for Israel based on repentance, which was not a mere matter of words, ritual, not even one completely washing with water. It was about a real change in life, an honest response to God, of doing what you know would please God. You don't cheat, intimidate, coerce, or steal. You now align yourself with God's purposes. Become part of his community, ready to enter this coming kingdom, the new reign of God. Simply put, John's call was a challenge to accept a radical realignment of values and purposes to those of God. It is a response to a different life, a new life, one that begins with repentance, seeking God's forgiveness, not by blood sacrifices, but devotion and inner dedication to God's purpose, a personal involvement, an inner change that overwhelms all else in one's life. The old expectations of a warrior prince, a messianic deliverer, is now the personal preparation and inner change that awakens the individual to a reality of the coming of the stronger one, the expected son of David. It is why our synoptic gospel writers all will quote from Isaiah's 40th chapter, a passage that is about preparing the way of the Lord. And here our author sees in this John's singular ministry as one of preparing for the coming of the Lord God, as a voice crying in the wilderness. It is the new Exodus, a renewed liberation. Here is God's herald, the voice with the message of good news. The prophet Isaiah's vision of God's ultimate and perfect salvation and true liberation is now heard in the land. This shift is important, for now we are to understand that the Lord is Jesus. It is for him that the paths are to be made straight. Isaiah's words reflect the idea that the royal approach to his city would be made as level and straight as possible. For this arrival of the Lord, every valley would be filled, every mountain and hill cut down, every curve straightened, and the rough spots made smooth. His way is to be perfect. This king will arrive as the great Lord, the perfect Savior, the ultimate answer. For in this coming one, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. A coming reign of God available and will be visible to all flesh. What is then occurring on the edge of the Judean wilderness is first a message to Israel, but is more. It is part of God's larger purpose of bringing God's atonement to all the world. So with the harsh and humiliating message, John is demanding of those who will to leave what was their old life, become as proselytes, to repent, be washed, and renew their faithfulness to the covenant, to live in a way appropriate to the life of a true son of Abraham. It is why John will respond so forcefully toward those who are less than sincere. Luke says he spoke to the crowds, but Matthew tells us that it was especially directed to the Pharisees and Sadducees, those who came not to change, but to look good, those who came for mere appearances, those who feared to have others think they are less than pious or spiritual. John will call them out as a brood of vipers, fleeing the wrath to come. Words that conjure up images of vipers, snakes scattering from a sudden brush fire. John, as did our Lord, had difficulty with insincerity, with the pompous know-it-alls, with those parading their piety and their holier-than-thou attitudes, of supposed spiritual leaders more interested in their perks, appearances, and honors, of self-proclaimed leaders who refuse directions even from the Word of God, of scribes, scholars, and those who purport to know and understand the things of God, unable to see what God is doing right before their eyes. As I am fond of saying, nothing has changed. You can find the same people in our very churches. John's words are deafening and profound. Who warned you? Someone had to, for you wouldn't know on your own. You are so caught up in your own little cubicle, your tight, close-knit clique. You wouldn't know a prophet from a soothsayer, a true man of God from another stranger. They have felt compelled to come because of the Baptist's popularity, his clear galvanizing of the people, to travel the hot, dusty roads down to the Jordan River's desolation. So they too must go. They have to keep up their perception as religious leaders, as the most spiritual men in Israel. So they have to make an appearance and to as well be baptized. After all, you have to look the part, to be all the people expect you to do. But John will have none of it. He sees right through them and adds caustically, bear fruit worthy of repentance. It's not that John is asking that they earn their place in God's kingdom. It is not about being saved by works. It is one of the basic realities of true spiritual life, however. A changed heart, a changed life, will reveal that change. It will bear fruit. It is basic. When you become grounded in truth, experience God's presence, know you have been touched by Him, and turned your back on the life of sin, knowing you are saved, you will act, speak, live differently. You will bear the fruit of a spiritual life. That is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I just don't believe God shows much tolerance for those that treat him like an insurance policy. Those who say, oh, I believe in God. He might actually exist, and I don't want to go to hell. Who warned you? Bear fruit befitting faith in him. Deathbed confessions require healthy skepticism, and God will judge the heart. So don't say to yourself, I have Abraham as our father, or I have said this sinner's prayer. I have been baptized, gone to church, done all the right things. Don't presume. Bear the fruits fitting for life in God. For as John will tell these hypocrites, it is not who you think is your father. What you believe is your right because of who you are or what you may believe you have done. God is able of these stones to raise up children unto God. This is a simple play on the Hebrew words for children and stone. You see, stones have a better chance of being God's people than those who play at religion and think it is their right. So let us prepare our own way for the Lord, for it is what we are required to do. My Lord and God, how often we must disappoint you with our foolish and senseless weaknesses. Oh, let your Holy Spirit ever be with us to enable and equip us, for you do reign and will reign until every enemy is your footstool, when every sickness, sin, and even death are no more, that your kingdom might be on earth as it is in heaven, all for your glory and honor. Amen and amen.
John the Baptist will, as only he would proclaim, a message that was humiliating, yet necessary to prepare the nation for he who was to come. Here as well is a lesson in being sincere in our approach to God. It is not about appearances or some perceptions of our own worth. It is about what God would do in our lives, about bearing fruit befitting our lives in him. Thomas, to further aid you in understanding what God has offered mankind, is making available his study, The World's Hope. Here is the answer to what the world so desperately requires. Just write and ask for The World's Hope. It is yours at no charge. Dear ones, we appreciate all of you so much and thank you for being a part of our outreach. For those of you who have yet to become a supporter, we would love to include you in our Wings of Healing family. Giving to this ministry makes you an integral part of a work that brings help and the word to so many here and abroad. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated, and we pray you will consider becoming a part of this ministry. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6H4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet and learn more about the Wings of Healing Ministry at thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, dear. I do find it still a pleasure to address her. And then to share this good note from Kenneth of Indiana, who tells us his diabetic AIC test has now tested to be normal, despite all the fears. Well, Kenneth, keep up the good work, and we will continue to pray. And if you want someone to stand with you, please do write. Dennis will provide our addresses once more. Following Gina Garcia's wonderful performance of When We See Christ. So until next week, may you hear God's word to you.
Oftentimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. the Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be over, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a heart, a home, a crown. The tempest will be banished. We'll lay our burden down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be over, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a heart, a home, a crown. The tempest will be banished. We'll lay our burden down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. So bravely run the race till we see.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. As always, any CDs of our programs are available if you will but write and ask. And for this week, Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his study, The World's Hope. This details in a scriptural and readable fashion just why Jesus Christ is the world's only hope for all the woes of this world of ours. It is informative and resonant with the hope that God will bring about his purpose. This book can be yours for simply writing and asking for The World's Hope. It is yours at no charge. Our address is once more our Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry on the internet at thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love him.